We are in the fourth week of dangerous words. Words that Jesus said that often make us go, really? That's really hard to do. Quite often words that are taken out of context. Today we're going to explore the next part of Matthew 7. And Libby is going to come and bring our Bible reading for us. And Libby will be using Linda's mic.
The reading is from Matthew 7, verses 1 to 6. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Libby. So, the part that we're up to, thanks Doug, the part that we're up to in this walk through Matthew 7 is a bit that says, do not give dogs what is sacred, do not throw pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and tear you to pieces. Let's just focus on me for the moment and not that. So what's this thing saying? What are we saying here? Jesus is saying that some people are dogs, that they're pigs. They can't appreciate the holy words that you have to say to them because you have the pearls of wisdom. In fact, because they're dogs and they're pigs, that they're not worthy even to hear what you have to say. Is that what we're saying? Is that what Jesus is saying? I have to tell you, that's one of the common understandings given by many people over the years as to what this is about. Can I suggest something different? Because this business about what is sacred and pigs and pearls is one of the most is an intriguing saying, and one that people have really struggled with over the years. So as you do, you go to children to understand what this might mean. One child was asked, or a group of children was asked, and one responded, "What does this saying mean? Don't cast pearls before swine." And this young boy, age 6, said this, "I would never give my toys to my sister to play with." Do we think that Jesus is saying, so the pearl is the toys and the sister? We won't even go there. I once heard of a couple of pastors leaving a conference, and there was there was one who was my age and one that was older. And as they went to go out the door, the younger pastor sort of said, "Oh look, age before beauty," and let the other pastor go through. The older one said, "Pearls before swine." Quick-witted. What do we mean by this sort of thing? What do we mean? See, the problem that most of us have is some people say that a swine is unworthy, and that you should not help them. I want us to take a step back for a second. According to the Bible, according to Scripture, and this is not a trick question, who falls into the category of sinner? Pretty much everyone, right? Anyone claim that they've never sinned? Well, if Jesus is the great treasure, if Jesus is the pearl of heaven, why should he have been cast amongst us if we were unworthy? Yet he was. And Jesus himself said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And Jesus didn't teach we shouldn't do good things for people who might reject or misuse them. In fact, he taught the opposite, didn't he? He said, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven, because he causes his sun to rise on those people who know what I know as to be the good things in life. No. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. So I want to suggest this morning that we need to be clear that Jesus is not saying there are a certain class of people or grouping of people to be viewed as pigs or dogs that are unworthy of any sort of great pearl. See, the problem with pearls and giving a pearl to a pig is pigs don't generally wear pearls, do they? Except unless you are one pig from Australia whose name is Babe. Babe wore pearls. What this teaching is getting at, and we have to go all the way back, that's what we want to read in context, and we'll get to that soon, is Jesus talking about how we relate with one another as human beings. And this teaching, and this whole section, including today, could save your friendships, it could save your relationship with people in this church, your marriage, or even relationships with your children. And I know that some of you have probably got a great pearl that you know is wonderful, and you want somebody else to know it so badly. But it may not be what they need. See, pearls don't nourish pigs, do they? What nourishes a pig? What swap, whatever it might be. Corn, it could be anything. What nourishes a pig is food. If you give a pig food, generally speaking, they are happy. And Jesus says, if you nourish this pig, it'll be more happy. If you don't nourish it, if you don't give this pig what it needs, it'll probably turn around and bite you in the end because you actually are edible, whereas a pearl isn't. Dogs. Don't give dogs what is sacred. Look, who's got a dog or had a dog? Okay. Dogs do they do a couple of things, but generally speaking, if you give a dog something, they try and do one or two things. They either eat it or they wee on it. It's what dogs do. Think about that application here. If you're giving a dog something they need, they might take it in. But if they don't need it or want it, what might they do? The reason I asked Libby to read the entire script this morning from Matthew 7, I know we've gone through different parts of it, is because we have to think about where we've come from. Whenever we read one bit of scripture, we have to understand where it is in the bigger part of the scriptures itself. And so a couple of weeks ago, we looked at this idea of do not judge. And we realised that do not judge does not mean you can't make observations, you can't look at things. But what it does mean is this. It stops us from condemning people, from pushing them down to saying, because you are this way, because you are doing this, because you believe this, because you have done this, you are less of a person than me. And Jesus talks a lot about condemnation. And Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, did he? He came to save the world. We then last week looked at this idea when Jesus said, don't point out the speck in your brother or sister's eye when there is a plank in your own. And he basically says, you know, even though the other person probably has an issue, there is a speck there, make sure you've had a darn good hard look at yourself first to realise why this is such a problem for you. What's causing that anger? What's causing that sadness? What's causing you to feel the need to have to assess and act on what the other person is doing or not doing, saying or not saying? And so Jesus actually says in this teaching, when we take the teaching as a whole, you know what, at times you do actually need to say something. It's actually okay, but make sure you're not condemning them. And we've discovered, one of the things, we discovered that if you've read the New Testament, you know that we actually do hold each other accountable for things. And that's not judging, that's discipling each other. But how do you do that? How do you do that? One person came to me at the end of last week, and as a preacher, you know, you talk for however long you talk for, sometimes too long, sometimes not long enough, but that's never my case. And they took one thing from right at the end of the sermon. And they said, Glenn, perhaps this person hasn't been judging me or condemning me, but seeing what is happening and lovingly want to put me in a better direction. And I have to tell you, I know that person and where they're at. And I've got permission to share this. This person knows who they are. And I went, my goodness, what a revelation in their life. So this is where we've come to on this teaching. Don't condemn. Make sure you got yourself, make sure you understand, why is this making you so angry before you even go to talk to them? Why is this an issue? It could be an issue for me before you go. Make sure you've got yourself in a place where you're not going to go and condemn them. And then Jesus goes on to say, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. And what Jesus is forbidding here is pearl pushing. This is when you try to push your pearls, your wisdom, your will, your way, your superior knowledge onto another person, even when they don't want it, even when you know it's not actually going to be helpful for them, because you just have to do it. Now, if you've been through the Bible a few times, you might think, but Glenn, doesn't the Bible talk about a pearl being something of great value? Doesn't Jesus talk about the kingdom of God being like a pearl of great value? And the answer is yes. Jesus communicates, and sometimes people who communicate use the same image in different ways. Think about yeast. Jesus also said, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast in a life. It works its way through and helps it to rise and grow. Can you think of another time when Jesus talked about yeast? Beware the yeast of the scribes or the Pharisees. He uses it both in positive and negative. In this term this morning, Jesus is saying, just be careful. And I think he's actually going to use it in a humorous way. It's almost like you have to put the quotes, pearls and pigs, together. Pearl pushers just drift into the habit of criticizing more naturally than encouraging. That's what pearl pushers do. So let me ask you a question. If I were to ask your friends what you do more, criticize or encourage, how do you think they'd respond about you? That's a confronting question for me. The Apostle Paul says, let's stop turning critical eyes on one another. And pearl pushers take it upon themselves to correct everybody else because they know what everybody else is doing. And the teaching that comes before this says, without perhaps recognizing their own plank. I read that there's two types of drivers in this world. There are all those idiots that are speeding past me, and then there's all those people that are making me slow down. Two types of people, those who speed, those who aren't driving fast enough. But what about me? If we look for flaws in others, we will find them. We will. No one's perfect. No one. But what happens with pearl pushing is that people tend to adopt a tone of superiority and they can't be wrong. And you know what? The pig notices. The pig's got a nose for this kind of thing. They have a sensitive radar. So the teaching here is if the pig isn't ready for your pearl, then don't push it. Because part of love is not just knowing what to say, it's knowing when to say it, and maybe more importantly, knowing when not to say it. And I don't know about you, but I struggle with that sometimes. This can be seen in lots of areas of our lives. With our family. We probably all have family members who want to see to come to faith in Jesus. I would say that's probably many of us have that hope and desire. And sometimes we can fall into one of two extremes. One extreme is we don't want to say anything to upset them, so we won't. And the other extreme can be, here's a book. Here's a CD. Here's a sermon. Here's a song. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you again. I once heard of someone who prayed for their husband to come to salvation during grace before dinner. Sounds crazy, right? That's pearl pushing. We're heading towards Easter. A time where people might actually be open a little bit more to some conversation around what Easter is about. Can I encourage you to be prepared to give, to be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have? Can I encourage you with that? And if you get an opportunity to share that, then wait and see what the other person is doing. Are they sort of like looking for an exit? If they are, stop pushing. If they're leaning in or they ask a question, then maybe you can talk some more. Pearl pushing can happen in a marriage. It can happen in a workplace. It can happen between friends. It happens in this church. And before you think of the other person pushing the pearl, maybe ask yourself if you're the pearl pusher yourself. Remember last week we talked about people having their own kingdoms. And we had on the whiteboard two circles. One was you and your kingdom, and the other circle was everybody else's. And who did we decide that you were in charge of? You, your own kingdom. A place where I think pearl pushing is most likely to happen and does a lot of damage is between parents and children. Parental pearl pushing is a major source of alienation in families. You know, anyone ever had kids? Some of you haven't yet, but you've all got parents, right? We've all got parents. Who here would say, I wish I had received more lectures from my parents when I was growing up? Anyone? I wish they'd talked to me more often about that. So often though, you knew exactly what was coming, right? I was writing this and I'm thinking, man, Jacob and Zoe. It was a moment of conviction for me about how often I push the pearls of wisdom because I am older than them and I know more and I'm wiser. Some might say. Perhaps the same is true for us in the church. Perhaps the same is true for us when we have different thoughts and ideas about things and how they should be done, or different ideas about different theologies. How do we actually engage without pushing and breaking relationships? Please hear me correctly. And we said this in the last few weeks. The point of Jesus' teaching here on the pearl and the pig is not don't confront. It's not don't set boundaries. It's not don't help those boundaries to be kept. We need to do that. It's a normal part of life. And most people see them as a normal part of life, except for in the life of the church where I go, actually, this is a place where they should be most easily met and done. Jesus' point is don't force your wisdom on a non-receptive person. You and I cannot control any other human being. You have your kingdom and they have theirs. And the point of allowing each other to move into, at that point, you get to have a say. Remember the challenge from last week was, who in your relational network is allowed to say to you, you've got a speck in your eye? How'd you go with that? In the end, God is the only one who can enter into others' kingdoms at the deepest level. And I know that some of us want to tell people and need to tell people, but sometimes we need to have what the great sage Kenny Rogers said to have, the wisdom of Kenny Rogers. You know the wisdom of Kenny Rogers? You gotta know when to hold 'em. Know when to fold 'em. Know when to. Know when to. That's not in the Bible. Okay? Not claiming that's in the Bible. But sometimes, for the sake of relationship, you need to know when to do that. And I'm not saying it's easy. Because here's the reality. The other challenge from last week was this. If you keep on putting up this sign saying, don't judge me, 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 you might miss the actual thing that God is trying to help you with in your life. And more often than not, God sends people to help you with that. And sometimes they are your best friends, and sometimes they are not your best friends. And so how do we work that out? How do we work that out? How do we understand as a church that sometimes God is calling our brothers and sisters in Christ to help us be all that God created us to be? And that sometimes that those brothers and sisters in Christ have to take a step forward and other times take a step back. One of the things that ministers or pastors or preachers love is when you spent 3 years talking about something and a guest speaker comes in and they say, hey, you guys should really do mission. And everyone goes, that was so good. Oh my goodness, if only we'd heard this before. It happens with parents as well, right? That's one of the reasons that we love youth group leaders. Because, and Sunday school teachers, because they help us. There's a story of a famous Super Bowl winning coach, NFL coach, so National Football League, Gridiron. His son was going to high school playing on the football team. And he was, because of the football team, lots of training, expending lots of energy, but all he would eat for breakfast apparently was a Pop-Tart. Does anyone know what a Pop-Tart is? It's like a little tart. It's really no nutritious value whatsoever, I'd suggest. So he goes to school, he's got all this training he's doing, he's got all these things. And so his father would come down to him. He's an NFL winning coach. And he'd given the science of nutrition and training and how he needs to eat a bigger breakfast. And he'd hold up the Pop-Tart to his son and say, this is nothing. This won't get you anywhere. And the son went, eh. Anyone's son or daughter ever done that to them? Can you remember when you did that to your parent? Well, apparently one day this guy comes downstairs and he saw his son fixing breakfast. Eggs, bacon, oatmeal, fruit. And he said to himself, I'm so glad the great Pearl has gotten through. So he said, I couldn't help myself. He said, hey, you're fueling your body beautifully today, buddy. And the son said, yeah, my coach said I needed a bigger breakfast. Which coach? It wasn't the father. It was his son's coach from school. Sometimes you might have a pearl, but it's not your place to give it. It might need to come from somebody else that God is already directing somehow in God's mysterious ways to help that out. I don't think it's our job to go around day after day correcting people, fixing people, giving advice to those who are not asking for it or with whom we don't have a relationship. Because quite often what sits underneath that is, why aren't they more like me anyway? I think it's our place and our challenge as followers of Jesus to come alongside people and offer hope and healing and do so with generosity and love. And if you are in a place of relationship where you have permission to maybe help them see the speck or perhaps give some pearl. I think this is what the church is actually meant to be like. We're meant to be the place where there is no condemnation, no superiority. And I have to say, it's hard not to be like that at times, isn't it? It's difficult. And this is why we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to transform us, to renew us, that we may live like Christ. So this week, maybe the challenge is, is my pearl really necessary to tell them? And before that, I give that pearl, am I making sure that I'm not actually saying that they're less of a person? Or do I just need to say this because it makes me feel better? Or because I'm angry? Or because I'm hurt? I recognise that that's not a complete and everything to do with relationships. But I have to tell you, perhaps that's where we need to start. Because you know what comes after this in Matthew 7? Jesus goes on to talk about something. Another thing that Christians love, but they love it for themselves. A bit like the do not judge thing. You know what Jesus goes on to talk about? The golden rule. Who knows what the golden rule is? I'll say it in the old English. Do unto others as you would have those do unto you. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What might that mean for you this week? You know what I want other people to do for me? I want them to show me some grace because I'm fallible. I want them to know my story and what shaped me to be the way I am because not all areas of my life have been redeemed yet. I want people to understand that I have some thoughts and ideas that come from a whole range of areas. And so I want people to treat me. Don't you want people to treat you that way too? How will we be God's people? And how will we do our relationships with each other so that the world may know that we are His disciples? Let's pray. Helen just said she's seen that happening. Yep. Yep. Thank you. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for your written and your spoken word, and we thank you that you offer us hope, and you offer us challenge, and you offer us hope. Lord, for those who are finding life through this time today about this, in fact, for the last 3 weeks over this beginning of Matthew 7, Lord, we give you thanks for that, that they are finding a new freedom in you to live a life and relationship with others. But Lord, for those amongst us this day for whom this is a struggle, Lord, would you help us to look deep within? Would you help us to not be afraid of that, but would you show us that which we need to see this day? And somehow in your majesty, and somehow in your awesomeness, Lord, would you change our heart? Would you be the potter who moulds us and shapes us? Would you give us insight, Lord, more so to ourselves than to others? And Lord, for the times where we do share, where we do see the speck, help us to know, Lord, when or if the pearl needs to be shared with that person at that time. Lord, I know it's my hope and my desire. And I reckon it's probably pretty much everyone's here to not be a pearl pusher. So God, would you continue to do your work of transformation in us? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.